In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. You know, for us, the idea of a kingdom is a rather strange idea. It's a foreign concept to us. You know, we here in the United States do not live in a monarchy in any sense of the word. Now, I know every few years there's usually some joke floating around the web that we're asking the Queen to take us back, or she says she's going to reclaim the colonies. And of course, here in the Episcopal Church, we have no shortage of Anglophiles either. But by and large, Americans balk at the idea of a monarchy. In reality, it's not just our own country, but across the world, there are only a very tiny handful left of absolute monarchies. There are, in fact, 8 of them. And most of these are countries that we don't often think about, especially living in the U.S. The monarchies we are familiar with, and most of them left in the world, are pretty limited. You think of countries like the UK or Spain or Japan or the Scandinavian countries. These are constitutional monarchies. Monarchs have very limited or a figurehead role. And it's not just that we don't really have many of these true monarchies left, but the idea gets further knocked down by our postmodern idea of individuality. Now, this is not necessarily a bad thing, but we tend to think of self-reliance as a great virtue. You know, we're all kind of rulers of our own little realms, aren't we? And if you don't believe me, finish this sentence. A man's home is his what? You guys are good at this game. And you know, we all have these little realms, and we happen to just live with a bunch of other rulers of their own little realms. And somehow that's just kind of how it works. So this idea of a single figure being sovereign over us is not really a relatable concept to almost anyone today. And today we are remembering, it is a major feast day of the church. It is the last day of our liturgical year. It's Christ the King Sunday. And the idea of Christ the King could be somewhat of a difficult concept for us. It's a completely foreign idea that there is someone who not only watches over us as a protector, but also rules our lives. This is something we have almost no concept for. And it's something that really makes faith, particularly the Christian faith, pretty unique in the world today. But the reality is that people have always struggled with the idea that God is sovereign. Even in the days when rulers were common, people really wrestled with the idea of trusting in God this way. We heard today from the prophet Jeremiah, and he says, "Woe to the shepherd who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." And he's speaking to those leaders who have created chaos, these human leaders who have been false leaders. And after speaking to these, giving this word of warning, he then gives words of comfort. And Jeremiah says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety." Now, as Christians, who do we read this passage to be about? Oh, come on, you know the answer to this. Who is Jeremiah? Who do we read as Christians, Jeremiah talking about this king coming? Jesus. See, I told you you're good at this game. But of course, in Jeremiah's day, they didn't really have much context for Jesus. So they're still thinking, when they heard these words for the first time, of a human king, not a divine king. And they're thinking, oh, great, David's line's going to be restored, all will be well. Well, of course, this is the thing that often happens. We tend to look for that Savior who is going to come in on a white horse, is going to make all things well. We look for this in maybe a human leader or a celebrity or even maybe ourselves. And it's something that God's people have struggled with from the beginning. If you go back in the Bible and you look back at the days of the judges, God said, all right, you have the law. There have been some judges appointed to help you interpret the law. Everything's going to be fine. And God's people say, but all the other nations have a king. We want a king. And of course, God's probably thinking, yeah, if all the other nations jumped off a cliff. All right, folks, you don't need a king. You've got the law. You've got judges. I'm your king. You don't need a human king. But all the other nations have a king. We want a king. Oh, fine, you'll get a king. So they get Saul. You know, Saul, of course, turns out to be ill and corrupt. So then the people of God say, oh, we didn't want that king. So God says, fine, fine, fine. You get David. And really, for the kingdom of Israel, this was the glory day. David's reign and the reign of two generations after. This is sort of the high point that everybody remembers and the Bible talks about and looks back fondly. But the reality is that God's people still struggled with the human king. A couple generations after David, there's a succession crisis. The kingdom gets divided in two. A couple hundred years later, you have the Greeks and the Romans come in, and you have puppet kings, and even in Jesus' day, you have the Herods, who were basically didn't do anything, but they were put there to placate the people. And this, I think, shows us something, even today, even in a day when we are in a place where we are far removed from this sort of leadership, that it shows us that people mistakenly put divine faith in human beings. Again, we look for that Savior to come in on the white horse as a human being, whether it's our leaders or celebrities or even ourselves. Now, this is not to say we shouldn't or can't put trust in people. Of course we can. Human leadership is important. We can defer to others' wisdoms, and in fact, the Bible commends us to do this. At the same time, yes, we can hold our leaders accountable. But at the end of the day, we have to remember something very important. And that is that people are not God. And more importantly than this, God's kingdom is not a human kingdom. Luke chapter 17, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. Now, human realms and rulers rule from the outside. But God's kingdom is ruled from the inside. God's kingdom is not just something that we are a part of, but God's kingdom is a part of us. In God's kingdom, we are not compelled by law or punishment, but we are compelled by love and our inner voice. And we are faced today, when we hear the readings, we are faced with this reading from the gospel of Jesus on the cross. A very dark image of what it means to be a king, what it means to rule and be sovereign. Nailed to the cross above Jesus are the words, King of the Jews. And the criminal on his right, which Christian tradition has often named Saint Dismas, asked Jesus, Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, the people of Jesus' time mistook what was going on. They mistook Jesus' kingdom for a human kingdom. And they saw his reign as sedition and not fulfillment. And while it was right to call Jesus a king, there was only one who understood what this meant. A criminal, someone condemned by society, but fully accepted into God's kingdom. And that, friends, is what sets Christ's kingdom apart. In Christ's kingdom is ruled with humility and not power. And Christ's kingdom is ruled by self-sacrifice and not punishment. And in Christ's kingdom, there is inclusion of those who are always rejected. And in many ways, Christ's kingdom is the overturning of human realms. It unites us through God's love instead of dividing us through arbitrary boundaries. And we are citizens of God's kingdom. More than citizens dwelling in a place, we are a place for Christ to dwell in us. And we are united in this kingdom, no matter what the world tells us should divide us. Amen.